You know, it's good to get away, but it is always good to be together. This series, Get Smart, has been based on Proverbs. I hope you've been reading the Proverbs. There is a whole lot of stuff there. And if you get you find you've caught up with all the Proverbs, you're welcome to go to the, 119th Psalm. That'll keep you busy for a while too, won't it, Tafu? Yeah, and it's pretty awesome reading. But I hope you've been reading it, because honestly, Solomon is the wisest man who ever lived, and he put these things down on in a way that we would be able to receive these sayings. And if you think, well, I like to read stories because a story kind of has a little line of thought that goes together, Proverbs is not like that. It is a bunch of what is called pithy little sayings, okay? And that's okay, because they bring us great wisdom, and they're how to get life together and how to keep it together and how it works. I understand last week Evan did his own thing and did a great job, and the week before Jim spoke about work, and today's topic is a little different, probably a good topic to talk about as one gets back from vacation. It is about friendship. Proverbs says a lot about friendship and friends, and you're thinking, what a weird topic for church. And I think Solomon would say, what a weird thought that you might think it was a weird topic for church, you know, because it's very important. And you might say, I might ask you, who are your friends? And you might say, well, what is a friend? Actually, we can't seem to decide what a friend really is. What is a friend? I read the other day there is a legal definition of a Facebook friend. How many of you have Facebook friends? Yeah. I have hundreds of them from what I understand. I wouldn't know. My son set my Facebook page up for me many years ago, and on my birthday I would look at it every year, but that was before I forgot my password. But one year he came home around my birthday and he went on my Facebook account and he accepted 245 people on my behalf as my friends, most of whom I didn't really even know who they were. Do you have Facebook friends you don't know who they are? Anybody? Just me. You do too. Yeah, so you know exactly what I'm saying. And you wonder, what is a Facebook friend? Does it amount to anything? There's actually, they're working on a legal definition of a Facebook friend, because it's important that we know these things, because in Palm Beach, Florida, a judge was about to preside over a case, and there was a protest by the prosecuting attorney that she had some connection with the defense attorney, because apparently they were Facebook friends, even though they might not have known each other. So is this a conflict of interest? And what is a friend? My wife graduated from Tecumseh High School in, what is the name of that little Park Lane?
In the middle of the country.
New Carlisle. New Carlisle. Oh, okay. New Carlisle, Ohio, where she is from. And it was called Tecumseh High School, named after the Indian chief Tecumseh. And you know what he said? I thought this was kind of interesting. He said, I don't know if I can. You thought that was a baby in that blanket, didn't you? I just about couldn't get it. He said, the single twig breaks more easily than the bundle of twigs. You've probably heard that little proverb from days gone by. And you know, I think that Chief Tecumseh was right. The single twig breaks a lot easier. Of course, if you are following along the lines of the Old Testament, it says to us in Ecclesiastes in no uncertain terms, a cord of three strands is not easily broken. You have a cord, it's just one string. You can, but you weave it together, three strands. You, someone else, and God is the third strand. And it won't be broken. But we are in desperate need of friends, and we have a difficult time with friendship. There was a Brazilian church leader who came to America, and he was speaking at different churches around the area, and there was a guy who was in charge of chauffeuring him around, and as they're between towns, the guy said, how about if we get some coffee? Would you like some coffee? And the Brazilian church leader got all excited. He was super, super excited. And the American couldn't understand why he would be so excited. And the Brazilian said, I am honored. This is so great. You know, that would be just great to do that. And the American, thinking he didn't understand why he was so thrilled, pulled into the drive-thru of the coffee shop, ordered two cups of coffee, only for the Brazilian to say, oh, you Americans, I thought you were asking me to be your friend. I thought you were asking me to sit and share life with me. And here all you were concerned with was a cup of coffee. Interesting. In Zimbabwe, they have developed this thing called friendship benches, which I think is really interesting. Friendship benches, you can find them through the parks of their cities. Anything related to medical things, there's friendship benches around, because people in Zimbabwe apparently are not as connected as they might wish they were. And so when they deal with such things as just hard times, they don't have people to talk to. So there are times slated you can go sit at the friendship bench and someone will come and listen to you for an hour. Isn't that interesting? Friendship benches. And generally the people that go there are people who are struggling with, I'm not going to say this right, but I want to, kafunsia, and basically it's interpreted people who think too much. And that's a pretty good description of depression, I think, people who think too much. But what's interesting is anyone who has participated in that program seems to be getting better. They've had 573 what they call friends, and only 13% of those who have gone to the friendship bench on a regular basis find that they are still struggling with this thinking too much. We really do need each other. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. We need each other. It's kind of as simple as that. But what's a friend? I left you four blanks in the back of the bulletin. Did you see that? Because I think there are probably at least four different categories of relationships that we are in, and I want you to you can either write the category down or you can write a name down. And the first kind of relationship we have is acquaintances. Could you write the name of an acquaintance down? You know? I go to the bank here in town, and the manager of the bank finally recognizes me, and that's a really nice thing to have an acquaintance, because I don't have to show her my driver's license when I want to go in and cash a check or whatever, you know. That's kind of handy. Acquaintances are nice things. They're just somebody that you are aware of. You know them. They know you. They're a very, very nice, very nice thing to have, but they're not enough. Because it says in Proverbs 18, a man of many companions comes to ruin, but there is a friend that is closer than a brother. An acquaintance is a nice thing, but it is not a friend. And you say, well, what is a friend? We have so many names for friends. There's girlfriend, boyfriend, best friend, right? Close friend, distant friend. And of course, we friend one another on Facebook, whatever in the world that means. There's even this thing called BFF. You know what a BFF is? Best friend forever. Best friend forever. Yeah. Carrie, are you my BFF? Aw. Isn't she sweet? I hope you all don't mind. I'm just going to go back and give her a hug. Oh, I'm kidding. There's the BFF. And you know, I don't know if we all have one of those, but there are a lot of people that that we maybe would call friends. And it's so important. It amazes me when I have performed funerals of people who they could not think of enough folks that they would think of as family or even friends to be pallbearers to carry out the person who died. Isn't that sad? And we all need friends. But what I want you to do is I want you to write down the name of someone who is a friend who is not a believer, not a church goer, not a Christian, because you know what? We need friends that aren't believers too, because they need Jesus, and we can learn from them, and they can learn from us, and it's a great thing. And it is a built-in name of someone to invite to church when the time is right, or the fish fry, because at a fish fry, the time is always right. Isn't that right, Jerry? And you say, but if I invite them, I'm going to have to pay their way. If that's a problem for you, you come find me. I'll pay their way, okay? Seriously, we want to... I want you to think of the name of the person, maybe who is not yet a believer, but is your friend. And I want you to be thinking, how can I help that person experience Jesus? Third kind of relationship is what I would call godly counsel. We all need godly counsel, you know. Maybe it's somebody in your Bible study who you can talk to if you have a question about life. You know, maybe it's a neighbor, maybe it's your pastor, maybe it's the Bible study leader, but you need to have that person in mind. On occasion, I'm trying to figure out something, and I'll think, I wonder who I should talk to. Who do I trust? And the list usually pops right out of my brain fairly quickly, 3 or 4 or 5 people. After annual conference, I was trying to figure out, after all the debates and all the ugliness of the whole thing, man, where do I go from here? And I called 3 or 4 or 5 people and said, what are you thinking? And it was just very, very helpful to be able to do that. We need people who are godly counsel. When my wife and I were first married, one of the godly counsel people in my life was a guy named Bob Moore. He was professor of New Testament at Asbury College. He was kind of dry. They called him Moore the Bored. That's what they called him when I was in college. I'm sorry, that's what they called him. You were never called that, were you, Jack, as a teacher? Mr. Most Interesting, right? Yeah. Of course you were. But he was such a neat guy. If ever I had a problem, I could talk to him. And yeah, he was dry and all that, but I could talk to him. And you know, he drove 200 miles to baptize my second child at the church I was pastoring in Southeast Ohio. What a great, it's just nice to know who you can call to. And the last kind of friend is a friend I would call an intimate friend. You maybe have one, maybe two. By intimate friend, I would put my wife on that list. She is my infinite, just close, you know. I also have another person I put on the list that is not someone of the opposite gender. It's just this friend who I can share almost anything with, you know. And we need people like that. We need people to share life with us, you know. We need people that we can completely trust. And if you want to know and how to categorize your friends, who's the closest, what I encourage you to do is tonight go out and get a flat tire beside the road about 1 a.m. and think to yourself, I wonder who I could call who would actually come and help me. Let's say you don't have that institutional friend, okay?
I'll call you, Pastor Scott.
Thank you. That would be great. And so you're thinking, I wonder who I could call who would help me. And you go through the list, and your mind edits really, really quickly. And you come down to a list of 2 or 3 or 4 people. Maybe that's a great test of friendship. We know who we could call. And you could call me, Chris, and I hope that my phone would be on ring so I could hear the thing go. But, you know, every time I'm in a place like this, I turn it on silence. Do you ever do this? And then I forget to turn it back on. Is that just me? you know. And so maybe not. But what I want you to know is friendship doesn't just happen. If you want to develop godly friendships, you have to realize it is not about you. And the beauty of friendship is it takes us out of our tendency to be self-centered and selfish. I got to think about their needs, not just mine. Because we all have that. It's the default position. It reminds us the world does not revolve around us. And we also discover that as we focus on other people's needs, what happens? God meets our needs as we focus on other people's needs. A man of compassion, or of many companions, it says in Proverbs 18, comes to ruin, but there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And Proverbs 12, verse 26 tells us, and I think this is really important, a righteous person is cautious in friendship. They are cautious. They're cautious. You got to check things out for a while. Is this person, I'm wondering, is that somebody I can depend on? Will they really be a friend to me? Will they really come through? What is a friend? A friend is there when you hurt. A friend is there when you hurt. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A friend is there when you hurt. They're just there. They're there when you hurt. They aren't necessarily giving you answers. In fact, you might not appreciate it if they did. But they're just there when you hurt. And you can name people like that, and I hope you are like that for other people. I'll never forget when I was in college and I was in the library studying intently with my future wife, Carrie. I don't know if I really got a lot done in those study sessions or not toward academia. You know how it is. But I was in the library, and all of a sudden I see someone from my dorm who says, you got to call home. There's an emergency. And 2 minutes later, I see someone else from the dorm who said, you got to call home. There's an emergency. And 3 minutes after that, I see someone else from the dorm, and I'm thinking, this doesn't sound very good. And I call home, and the line is busy, and I call the other line, and the pastor answers the phone. If the pastor answers the phone, you can be sure something isn't good. And he said, let me give this to your mother. And my mother said, your dad was cutting a tree this morning and fell and died. You know. And so when that rumor went around the college, 400 miles away from home, as I was, that rumor went around the college, the people from the dorm, the resident advisor came and met with me and handed me $40. And I said, what's that for? He said, because sometimes in our experience, people have a crisis. They just need a couple of bucks, and we think we should give it to you. And I thought, me? And I thought, well, I guess maybe. And he prayed with me. Week later, I come back. I'm back in the dorm again, and there's this same resident advisor, and he comes up to me and he says, I've been praying for you all week. Every day I prayed for you. And he said, you know, one day I decided I was going to sit there and I was going to think about what you must be going through. And I thought, how would I feel if I had just lost my own dad? And he said, it felt awful. And I could tell. A friend hurts when you hurt. And so Solomon says, never abandon a friend. This is Proverbs 27:10. Never abandon a friend, either yours or your father's. When disaster strikes, you won't have to ask your relatives for assistance. This is very interesting. It is better to go to a neighbor than a relative who lives far away. These people might even be more dependable than your own family. Never abandon one of them. Never. A friend also is someone who says what needs to be said. You know, wounds from a friend It says in Proverbs 27, verse 6. Proverbs 27 is all about friendship. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. If somebody's just buttering you up too much, maybe you ought to wonder. Wounds from, or another thing from Proverbs 27, 9, the pleasantness of one's friends springs from his earnest counsel. So a friend says what needs to be said. Now, sometimes when you hear something like that, you think, that means I got to go confront somebody and blast them and tell them exactly what I think. And I don't think that's the point at all. A friend simply says what needs to be said. So I'm a high school student, and a friend comes and says, you keep acting like a complete know-it-all. Nobody's going to want to hang out with you. Maybe that's something that needs to be said, you know? Or that friend comes up and says, you know, your jokes are sometimes funny the first time, but never the fifth time. Or that friend comes up and says to you, you may have a little problem with smelling smells around, but you might not do it, but I just want you to know I can smell just fine, and you need deodorant, brother. That's it. I don't know. You know, there's a booger on your face. Your fly is down. Don't stand in front of the crowd with your fly down. It needs to be said. Though I did have a friend, the first time he preached, this is a true story. He's standing in front of the congregation, and he realizes that his fly is down. And he also realizes if he goes to zip it up, everyone will notice that his fly is down. So he thinks to himself, I'm just going to leave it. Maybe they won't notice. And he got to the end of the service, and one of the old-timers from the church said to him, that was the greatest talk I've ever heard. And by the way, I hardly even noticed your zipper was down, you know. Hardly even noticed, yeah. A friend compliments you in public and corrects you in private. They compliment you in public, but they correct you in private. So if there's something that maybe you think needs to be dealt with, you do that in private because you love and never want to embarrass somebody. Third thing is, a friend brings out the very best in you. I don't believe you have this verse, but Proverbs 22, verse 24 says, do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared. You know, don't associate that. Anybody remember Miami Vice, the old television show? Now, maybe what you didn't know is that Don Johnson had a terrible problem, the main actor of Miami Vice, because he was taking a lot of drugs and abusing a lot of alcohol, living it up, and finally in the year 1983 he got straight, and someone asked him if he had any regrets. He said, yes, I regret wasting lots of time with a bunch of jerks that now that I'm sober I wouldn't spend 10 minutes with. You know, let alone 10 years. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians, don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. What were you thinking? Oh, I was just going along with the crowd. You know? And Solomon also goes on to say in Proverbs 27, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. You know? And finally, he says in Proverbs 13, verse 20, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers much harm. We need to do this thing together. We're going to share communion, and I got to get going because obviously our time is getting close. But I want to show you one more slide, one more little picture. You recognize that's two horses pulling a whole four horses. See, oh yeah, okay. That's four horses pulling a whole bundle of weight. You know what I read this week? if you get two horses, they can pull 9,000 pounds. Did you know that? And I was thinking to myself as I read that, I wish I had a horse. That would be fantastic around for yard work. I mean, that would be great. But if you get four horses and you put them together, they can't. They don't pull 9,000 pounds. How much weight do you think they could pull? 30. Most people would think they could pull 18,000 pounds because it was twice as much weight. Pete says 36,000 pounds. Is that what you said, Pete? You did. But actually, what I read is four horses can pull not 9,000 pounds, but 30,000 pounds. It's called synergy. We can do things together we never could do alone. I got to tell you, we need friends. I want you to think about who is your friend. How can you pray for them? What can you do for them? Who is your friend who doesn't come to church? How can you get them involved? We're going to share communion, but I want to pray for you. First, Father, I just ask that you'd be with us as we think about the folks in our life and help us to be great blessings and great friends to them. Father, some of us need folks to come alongside us. I just ask, oh God, that you would put those people in our life and that we would be a great support to them as they could be to us. You don't intend any of us to be alone, God, or lonely. So I ask, God, that you would bring great friends. We ask in Jesus' name.